Nuclear power plants are being targeted by hackers. NotPetya news is not over. Facebook wins a battle over privacy, and there's a lot of debate over 1Password's new cloud push. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings! Hello, everyone. I am Shannon Morrison. This is ThreatWire for July 11, 2017. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. Real quick, make sure to subscribe and hit that little notification bell button to see the show as soon as it goes live, and check out patreon.com/threatwire to see how you can support the show. Now, on to the news. First off, of all of the industries that could potentially be hacked, nuclear power plants are probably one of the worst that could be messed with. According to a report by the New York Times, several nuclear power stations have been targeted in phishing attacks since May, including the Wolf Creek Nuclear Operating Corporation and their plant in Kansas. The news outlet explains a confirmed joint report issued by the DHS and the FBI that carried an amber warning, which is the second highest threat issuance available. A spokesperson for the DHS said that there was not a threat to public safety due to the cyber attacks, and the networks impacted included administrative and business networks. Wolf Creek in particular said their corporate network and internet access were separate from the plant network. Now, it's not clear if the attackers were able to gain access to the nuclear power plant's networks for any of their targets, what the motive was, or where they were from. Security experts suspect these attacks were for reconnaissance for future attempts and that they were state-sponsored actors. Now, in this case, attackers used phishing attempts crafted via Microsoft Word to try to gain access to the network. They sent fake resumes to senior officials that included malicious code that, when opened, would allow an attacker to steal credentials and branch out to other machines on that same network. The joint report also detailed man-in-the-middle attacks and website spoofing as well. Now, while this kind of cyber attack is obviously not new, phishing is not new. It should be considered extremely necessary to protect infrastructures that could potentially cause huge consequences, not limited to, but including environmental and our health. NotPetya may have slowed its spread, but the investigation is far from over. Suspicions rose that the attack was rooted in a legit update from a tax accounting application called MeDoc, or M-E-Doc, which was further confirmed by AV company ESET last week in a blog post detailing the technical analysis of the malware. According to ESET, the malicious code was planted by MEDoc way back in early May, so whoever was behind it was carefully planning their attack. MEDoc has made various statements regarding NotPetya, and according to Ukraine's National Cyber Police Unit, they could face harsh criminal penalties for not protecting their networks and code. Apparently, the company had disregarded previous insecurities that were all known about. Now, with this, Ukrainian National Police also released a video on YouTube showing heavily armed officers raiding the Intellect Service software firm, who just so happened to be the creators of MEDoc accounting software. Closed captioning was not available at the time of recording, so if you understand what they are saying in the video, I would love a translation. You can just leave that below. Some computers are still locked up, and as such, the attackers upped the ransomware note to 100 Bitcoin, which totals to about $250,000. Now, of course, nobody has taken them up on that offer to unlock their files for that sum, but even then, only some of the machine's files could then be decrypted. Now, on the flip side, Janus, who is the creator of the original Petya malware, released the master key for decrypting files on any machines infected with the ransomware. Unfortunately, though, this key will not work on NotPetya, it will just work on Petya. Big thanks to Decimatrix for posting this story on our Patreon community tab. And of course, if you are a Patreon as well, and you've got a really cool story to share, send it our way, just like they did. Now, whenever you go to a website, say like a news site, or maybe your favorite blog, and you hit that little Facebook like button, it's a really easy way to show your appreciation for the person or the company's work, and it allows for easy social network sharing as well. But that like also gives Facebook and the website browsing data on you, even if you have logged out of Facebook while browsing that site. See, Facebook uses cookies after you have logged out, but according to the company, they do not use that data to track or sell data to third parties. Starting in 2014, the company did start using browsing data to send targeted targeted advertising ads to users' news feeds, and you've probably seen that on your own or family's news feeds. Now, all of this can be opted out of via Facebook settings, which was used against plaintiffs in a recent case against Facebook. So according to plaintiffs, Facebook used that little like button to track them and create detailed records of browsing history, which could violate privacy and wiretapping laws. U.S. District Judge Edward Davila of San Jose, California, dismissed the lawsuit because the plaintiffs were not able to show economic harm and that they couldn't show any reasonable expectation of privacy. So the judge argued that plaintiffs chose, I quote, chose not to block Facebook's intrusion, saying that they should use incognito mode or the opt-out tools. He also dismissed a previous similar case under the same situation. 1Password, a favorite for password managers for security professionals, and it's one that I've even recommended on occasion, is moving towards a cloud-based monthly subscription model for storing passwords instead of their very long-standing one-time fee, locally stored vault model. And the InfoSec community, I gotta tell you, online, they is shook. They're just shook. So allowing customers to use a local license and locally encrypted storage gives them access to their passwords while not having to rely on any kind of trust in a third party. In this case, that third party would be 1Password, the company. Now, since the company is choosing to switch to a cloud model, subscribers will now have to put trust in 1Password to keep their most important information, aka their passwords, secure. So according to 1Password's Twitter account, they are definitely trying to get their dissenters to move to new cloud models with promo codes for 6 free months of use. So if you do argue, you could get 6 months free, potentially, but they have also explained that the local storage option will continue to be supported. Now, the one-time license local option has been removed from the site under their pricing options, but new subscribers can email 1Password and ask for a local license. If you're really nice about it, you might get one instead of the monthly fee cloud-based model, according to Motherboard. Now, from a business aspect, it does make sense to create a subscription model, which offers ongoing revenue and more profitability in the long term. From a security standpoint, though, new subscribers now have to choose between convenience and their own security. Myself, I've been using LastPass most of my days as my daily driver, though I have tested all of the popular password managers, including 1Password. Now, since I commonly review products and need easy access to my data to give fair reviews on all of those different devices, that manager works well for me as it's convenient to move my data around. But since it does run a risk of inherently being less secure than a local model, I have taken numerous other steps to maintain my security, and I can talk about those some other time. Now, if you don't switch up devices commonly, local storage is a really good option for security, and unfortunately, the choice between password managers has just been made a little bit harder. Thank you so much to all the fine people who contribute to patreon.com/threatwire. If you want to spare a little bit of change, it all helps keep Threatwire completely independent and ad-free, and you get access to all sorts of cool things like an audio-only RSS feed, there's extra content, and early access for our patrons so you know exactly which stories I'm going to be talking about each week on each episode. We might even feature your adorable fur babies, just like these ones, on a future episode. Remember, patrons, to share your favorite security-focused news stories in the Patreon community tab to get featured in the show. And of course, if you cannot donate, that's totally cool too. You can hit the subscribe button, you can share this episode on your favorite social media page, and use the hashtag ThreatWire so that we see it, and I might just even retweet you. Look at that. With that, I'm Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet.